So the first thing I want to share with you is I want to talk about probably literally the most important issue that every human being is struggling with. Right? And I want to begin to address the most important question that everybody's asking. Whether they're aware of the fact that they're asking it or not is a different question, but everybody's asking this question in some way. And what is that question? The question is, what is the source of genuine, unconditional self-worth? How can I unconditionally feel good about myself? The answer to that question is the secret to your entire life. Literally the secret to your entire life. Feeling good about yourself, unconditionally feeling good about yourself, is going to influence everything in your life. You know, I mean, I've had many couples turn to me to help them in their marriages. And very often, the problem is not that they feel their spouse doesn't love them. The real problem is they don't love themselves, right? We're asking others to love us in a way that we're not loving ourselves, okay? And therefore, this is so serious, and a lot of people don't realize how Jewish this is. You know, you have a mitzvah, haftil lerecha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means that the prerequisite to fulfill that mitzvah, which Rabbi Akiva says is klal gadol b'torah, the entirety of Torah is really the details in fulfilling that mitzvah, is a haftil lerecha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I know people that I would prefer they not love me the way they love themselves. Right? Do a little better job than that, maybe even a much better job than that. So I think it's very strange that very few people realize that a central concern of Torah life is that you love yourself. Now, we're not talking about being egotistical, okay? But that you should love yourself and take care of yourself and value yourself, right? Is the key to everything in your life. Your life will fly from there or fall from there, right? If you believe you're a loser, you probably will be a loser because that's what you believe about yourself. And if you believe you're a winner, then it's very likely that you will become a winner in some way, okay? But it's really fundamental to mental health and happiness, and the key to all relationships is that you be there. And for you to be there, you have to feel good about yourself. And there's one person that you will have to live with your entire life. And there's one person that will be with you whenever, wherever, all the time. And it's you. And if you find yourself annoying, that's really hard to live with, right? If you are so self-critical or you suffer a lot of self-contempt, then who wants to be around a person like that? And you got to suffer that guy all the time, wherever you are. You can't shake him because it's you. So where you go, there you are. And that's why it's interesting that this course is really about you. We'll talk a lot about Hashem, but there's only one reason we talk about Hashem. Right? The only reason we have the right to talk about Hashem is to help us understand who we are and what we need to do. Right? Other than that, there's no reason and no right to even talk about Hashem. Okay? So even though there will be a lot of discussion of what do we mean when we say Hashem, I want you to understand that the core issue is really, who am I? Why am I? What can I become? How can I become that? That's what this whole course is about. Okay? And so feeling good about yourself is absolutely of the highest priority. It's not being selfish, right? It's not being selfish. That could be into something selfish, but I find egotistical people are people with low self-esteem. People that are so about themselves because they don't really feel good about themselves, so they're compromising or they're compensating, actually, because they really don't feel good about themselves. So they have to take up a lot of space, and they have to be heard, and they have to be seen, right? When you feel good about yourself, you don't need to be seen. You don't need to be heard because you're okay. You don't need that, right? I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying I've completely mastered it either, right? But that's what we all have to work on. Okay, and this is of an incredible, important Jewish value. Ahav l'recha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, it's hard to love your neighbor, to genuinely love your neighbor. So, let's begin to understand. So, who are you? So who are you? So a number of years ago, I had one of my students over for Friday night dinner. This is during the Israelite days, you know, a rite that grew out of Israelite. Israelite was a co-ed program. It was predominantly a Kiruv program, but a lot of people came from Orthodox backgrounds, which was a big surprise to me because they never got this material growing up. So it turned into just basically an organization that focused on teaching the principles of Emunah and Machshava. But whatever, so this girl who was not from a religious home, she was at our Friday night dinner, and she began to talk about her family. And she mentioned in passing that her mother was in Japan. Okay, so I asked her, well, you know, what's your mother doing in Japan? And she said, well, my mom, she's looking for herself. All right, fine, that, you know, that's not an unusual phrase, but when you're an Israeli 7-year-old, which my daughter was at the time, who doesn't understand English so great, so when she hears English, she translates it into Hebrew in her head. She was following the conversation as much as she could until the girl said her mother's in Japan looking for herself. At that moment, my daughter didn't know what to do with that. So she turned to me and she said, Abba, Mahyamra? Daddy, what did she say? So now I have to take this very familiar phrase, Ima Shela, her mother, Hiba Yapan, she's in Japan, and she is looking for herself. At that moment, my daughter realized that she actually did translate it right, and it freaked her out. And she went like this, whoa. Whoa. Like, I could lose myself. You understand how crazy that sounds? You could lose yourself? How do you lose yourself? You're in a hotel. You check out. Wait a second. Myself? Or myself? Where did I give myself? I could have sworn out. I mean, well, you know, last time I saw myself was in the mirror of the bathroom. Maybe I'm still there. Go back to the reception. Excuse me, I think I left myself in the room. Oh, we're sorry, ma'am. We cleaned that room out. But I think I left myself in the room. Well, there is a lost and found. It'll be open tomorrow morning. How do you lose yourself? How do you find yourself? Who is the self? What is the self? Okay? What is the self? You know, so let me give you a map. This is a map to who we are. We got toilet paper there. Okay. Good. Okay. I don't know why this stuff doesn't come off. All right. Because it's been there so long?
Been there for a month.
Okay, whatever. All right. So what I want to share with you is a system, again, a language that I use, which is called me, myself, and I. Who's the me? Who's the self? Not a good idea. Marker permanent. Not a good idea. That's why it's not coming off. All right, all right. Well, let's just sniff it so we get something out of it. Okay. Now, this one is so not permanent that it doesn't even have anything on it anymore. So I don't know what it is. Okay.
See if it comes off.
We'll see if it comes off. Well, no, this is certainly not going on. All right, fine. All right. Well, let's try this one. This will be etched into your brains for sure. Okay. Me, myself, and I. Who's the self? Who's the me? Who's the I? So I first wanted to introduce you to the self, right? The self is the soul. Okay? You are a soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. That was the first confusing thing that I think we were all taught. My body, my soul. I have a body and I have a soul. Then who am I? Okay? So what we are correcting is you don't have a soul. You are a soul. Just like you don't have a self, even though you say myself. It's not myself. You are the self. But it's just a way to talk. But it's a way to talk that can confuse people by saying myself. So you don't have a soul. You are a soul. Okay? And even when you see in the Torah it says, Aneshama shenatata bi, we'll deal with that. The soul that you put in me. That's talking about the me. Okay? Right now I want to talk about the essential self. You are a soul. Okay? And you as a soul come into this world to play a character, which is the me. Okay? The character is the me. In other words, I'm not really Rabbi David Aaron. He couldn't make it today. Sent my twin. Okay, I am not Rabbi David Aaron. I am a soul, and in this life, and I'm being very specific, in this life I am playing a character called Rabbi David Aaron. Like an actor plays a character, you as a soul are playing a character. Okay? All right? Let me give you an example. How many of you can honestly say that you're not the same person today that you were 5 years ago? Say I. Now, how can you not be the same person you were 5 years ago? Because 5 years ago, you were some nerdy little, high school kid. Now you're an writer boy. Okay, whatever it is. That was a different kind of character, right? And you will see that throughout your life, you played different characters. You know, you might have been the cool kid. You might have been the nerd. But that's a character you play, and you don't have to keep playing that character. That's the beginning of therapy, where people get stuck in a persona, in a character, that they have decided that's who I am. Okay? And that's the first thing that is so important towards answering the question is, what is the source of genuine, unconditional self-worth? Is to know where to look for the self-worth, right? Where you want to look for the self-worth is in yourself as a soul, not your character. Let me give you another example. How many of you actually entertained this kind of crazy question when you were a kid? Did you ever wonder, who would I have been if my mother would have married another man? Yeah. Anybody ever think that question? Now, I want you to know that that's an insane question. What do you mean, who would I have been if my mother would have married another man? That was a soul question. Only you as a soul could ask that question. That was a deep intuitive knowing that I as a soul could have come into this world playing a different character. I could have been in a different body. I could have been speaking a different language. Okay? I would have been born to a different family. Okay? That's an amazing question. That's a kind of a self-awareness, a certain self-evident realization that I, as a soul, had the ability to come in this world with a different personality. Okay? That's quite an amazing idea. Okay? I thought of that as a child, right? I wasn't even sure that I was even David Aaron because I'm the only kid in the family that has red hair. Nobody in my family has red hair, and that bothered me a lot, and growing up with red hair was not fun, although now I miss it. But in those days, right, it wasn't fun. Everybody's got a name for, redheads. It's like meathead, carrot top. My only response to carrot top is the tops of carrots are green. But other than that, everybody's got, a different name for redheads. It bothered me, and I asked my mother, why do I have red hair, and nobody in the family has red hair? And my mother said that your father, when he was a child, he had red hair. Now, my father had black hair. So how did red turn black? I found that kind of unconvincing. And I thought maybe I was adopted. Right? The only reason I was quite sure I wasn't adopted is I knew my parents wouldn't spend that kind of money on me. But other than that, I didn't know. Okay. So who really are you? You are a soul. And if you can learn to live as a soul from a place of soul, which is the goal of a Torah life, one of the goals of a Torah life is to enable you to live as a soul, right? That's already the secret to a much healthier, empowered, loving life, okay? But you as a soul come into this world to play a character. And the important thing to know, by the way, is that you will never die. Because you are a soul. You're not your body. You have a body, but you're not your body. And you are a soul. And souls don't die. Okay? So imagine an actor who gets a part in a play or in a movie, and he's very excited, he really wanted that movie. And as he's going through the script, he sees that in scene 7, he dies, freaks out, runs back to the director, excuse me, I can't do this movie. Oh, why not? Well, I don't want to die. What are you talking about? Who says you're going to die? It says right here, scene 7, I die. You're not going to die. Your character's going to die. You're going to get up and win an Oscar. Okay? So when a person lives from a place of soul, right, they begin to transcend the fear of death, and they tap into youthfulness. They are ageless. Souls are ageless. Okay? People that are stuck in their bodies get old. Right? Not that the body won't get old, but I'm not my body. Right? For me to think that I'm old because my body is a certain age is as silly as me thinking I'm old because my car is a certain age. What's it got to do with it? Right? That's your car. Okay? So the first thing you understand that you, the real you, are a soul. And you come into this world to play a character. Right? And the question is, who were you before you got your name? Who were you before you got this body? Who were you before you got this script? Because you were handed a script, and we'll talk about free choice in a few months from now, right? But you are a soul, and you've come into this world to play a character. Let me give you a little bit more information. My wife used to study and practice astrology. Now, there are different opinions about astrology. All halakhic opinions say that astrology is forbidden if you are using it for horoscopes and predicting the future. There is not one posik that will say that that is permissible. However, there is a machlokis amongst the poskim whether you can use astrology to help people understand their character traits. Okay? So my wife was quite a good astrologist. She never used it for horoscopes. She used it to help people understand their character. But she decided not to do it anymore. What?
Could you clarify what the difference
is? Sure, the difference is that, you know, are you a Pisces, and there's certain characteristics of Pisces, and what's your rising sign and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go into the details. Right. However, the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you were born at the time of Mars, whatever that means, you will have a bloodthirsty character. And that's just a done deal. You will come in this world and you will be given a character. You as a soul will be playing a character that is bloodthirsty. So the Gemara asks them, what is the free choice that you have in your life? Well, your free choice, there's nothing wrong with being bloodthirsty. I have a cup every morning, right? Nothing wrong with being bloodthirsty. Question is, what do you do with it, right? Are you going to become a serial murderer? Going around killing Captain Crunch and all those guys, right? Are you a serial murderer? Or are you going to be a moil? Someone who does circumcision? Or are you going to be a shochet? Are you going to be a surgeon? But for some reason, you like to draw blood. And there's nothing wrong with that. See, that's why a lot of people get upset with themselves, because they're trying to change their character, when you don't need to change your character. You just need to channel your character. Apply it to something good. Okay? There's nothing wrong with a knife. It's just what you do with it. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with anybody in this room except for... Okay, there's nothing wrong with anybody in this room in terms of your character traits. What's wrong is how you're applying those character traits. How you've organized your character traits. Okay? But you as a soul have been given very, very distinct character traits. In my map, it says that I have the ability to make deep ideas simple. Now that really freaked me out, because I thought that that's something I worked really hard on my whole life to be able to do that. And yet it was right there in my astrological map that that is simply a talent, a strength that I have. Okay? And that question is, what do I do with that? Okay? Right. Now, it does say in my map that I'm the type of person that will most probably either be a philosopher or a guru or a spiritual leader or a clergyman or a rabbi or a professor of philosophy. All that was in my map, right? And it freaks you out when you see this, because you suddenly realize there's a huge picture going on that you're a part of. Well, my wife was very disturbed about this, because there's something called astrological twins. These are two people that are born in the same place at the same time, but not to the same parents. And they're called astrological twins. My wife showed me pictures of astrological twins. They look like identical twins, but there is no family connection whatsoever. Okay? And that's really quite challenging. So my wife asked her astrology teacher at the time. Again, my wife decided not to do astrology anymore, and now she does what's called handwriting analysis. But in terms of astrology, she asked her teacher, well, then where is free choice? And this is what her astrology teacher taught her. Astrology says nothing about you as a soul. It talks about your character traits. If we take five children and we give each of those five children five crayons, which are the exact same color, they will do something different with those five crayons, even though they have the same five crayons, okay? So two people born at this time of Mars will be bloodthirsty. So you will have a bloodthirsty character. Your free choice is what are you going to do with it? But for you to get all frustrated about being bloodthirsty is ridiculous, because there's nothing wrong with it. Just do something right with it, okay? You follow that. Some people are just introverts. That's just who they are, right? So why be upset about that? There's nothing wrong with being introvert. Who cares, right? So you don't have any friends. No, I'm just joking, right? Right? There's nothing wrong with being an introvert. You're more of a quiet person. That's okay, right? But what are you going to do with that? How are you going to respect that? What is it about being a quiet person that is your power? Because there's power to that. There's a reason why that. So a lot of people are trying to change what they don't need to change. They just need to adopt it to and apply it in the right way. And then they'll see the power in it, and then they'll see the blessing in it. All right? Follow that? So you are a soul, and you come into this world to play a character. Now, let's go back to the question of self-worth. Most people base their self-worth on their character. Wrong place to base your self-worth. Because your character is not going to last. The character's going to die. Right? So, and you can't rely on it. So if your self-worth is based on your great body, who says you're going to always have that great body? And what happens when you get older and that great body isn't so great anymore? Then how do you feel about yourself? If your self-worth is based on your intelligence, what happens when you walk into a class and you're not the most intelligent person in the class? What then happens to your self-worth, right? If your self-worth is based on your friends, what happens when your friends are no longer your friends, right? You're going to hold up your personal growth because you don't want to take a risk on losing friends? Well, then that means that you think your self-worth is based on your friends. Wrong place to go looking for self-worth, okay? So that's why so many people today are so messed up. Because their whole self-worth is being drawn and counted on. They're looking for self-worth from their body, from their intelligence, from their money, from their Facebook likes. By the way, I have a Facebook. Are you okay? No, no, no. Right? Your Facebook likes, right? What are people saying about you? What are people thinking about you? Then you're a victim. You are a hostage. That's called ego. When a person is stuck in their ego, they're stuck in the superficialities of looking for self-worth in all the wrong places, okay? And those wrong places is how you dress. I'm not saying don't dress well, right? But when people are so caught up on how they look and what clothing they have, it's just a good sign that you actually really don't feel good about yourself. Okay. Now again, you could really feel bad about yourself, and that's why you dress in a really super schlumpy way, because you don't take care of yourself. But when people have to buy, you know, super expensive clothing because they want to look good for their friends and they want to be part of that club, and so that people then you're looking for self-worth in all the wrong places. And it will crash eventually. It'll crash in front of you. Yes.
What if you have real self-worth and a way that you not necessarily, but I had this in my head a second ago. Like, okay, you have real self-worth, but yeah, sort of a way of expressing it and making yourself, not to make yourself feel good, because you value yourself, you dress well, you buy.
That's okay, clothes. But you have to be careful. Are you deluding yourself, or you're genuinely expressing yourself? That's okay. The question is, why are you doing it? And when what basically guides you is to look good in the eyes of others, then you probably don't feel good in the eyes of yourself. Got that one? Right? If what's motivating you is to look good in the eyes of others, then most likely you don't feel good in the eyes of yourself. And so the first thing to know is you are a neshama. You don't have a neshama. You have a body, and you have a character, and you have opinions, and you have philosophies. That's what's so amazing. That's what's soulful about learning Gemara, let's say. When you're in a chavrusa, in a Gemara, and you say, this is what the Gemara means, and then your chavrusa rips your idea apart, and you feel bad, then you got lost in your character. You started to think that your thought is your self-worth. Right? And now that he demonstrated to you that your thought, your interpretation of this text was wrong, you now think you're wrong. And there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. It was just a wrong thought. And you're happy to get rid of it because you don't want to have a wrong thought. But if in a discussion or a debate, you feel your self-worth is at risk here because somebody has demonstrated that your thinking is wrong, then you've made the mistake to identify your self-worth with your thinking. And it's not. It's just a thinking that you can change. The reason why a lot of people can't change is because they're afraid they're going to die. If I think differently, I will die. If I have new friends, I will die. Because they have become their character. They've gotten lost in their character. And who got lost in the character and lost their life because of it? Famous actor who lost their character for 10 points.
Joker.
Right, Heath Ledger. He literally got lost in it. He started to think that he is the Joker. Right? So, the first thing, and we'll continue this tomorrow, is the first thing is to begin to appreciate yourself as a soul, right, that stands independent and transcendent of yourself as a character. Right? And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Bye-bye.